What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a Washington Wizards team that has won four of its last five games for the first time since 2023. It's a team that's playing real good basketball, and it's a team that did it again tonight against a depleted Nets team. Didn't have Cam Thomas, didn't have Michael Porter Jr., didn't have Nick Claxton. But the Wizards took care of business with a 119 to 99 win. A game where they led by 13 after the end of the first quarter and realistically dominated most of the game. And who better to break it down with me than my friend Charles Chisholm, who's going to join me on the pod. What's going on, Charles? Tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
What's up, Greg? Thanks for having me, man. So I go by Danby Unfiltered on Instagram, but my name is Charles Chisholm. I'm just like a up and coming play-by-play commentator, just wanted to get myself connected in the media world. So yeah, I love talking about basketball. I've been a Wizards fan since I was like 5 years old, since I was young. And I just always just love talking about basketball. I used to play basketball too, but unfortunately I got hurt. So I was like, what's the next best step? Just talking about it, So yeah.
Awesome. Charles is going to join us tonight to break down this one. And it's the Wizards' sixth win in their last 10 games. They've really, like I said, done it throughout their young players. And tonight was another example. Chris Middleton, again, the last couple games hasn't been great at 0 points against the Bucks. Another 9 point showing, pretty quiet at that. CJ had 17. But this one was realistically driven by three factors. You had awesome bench production from Justin Champagne and Marvin Bagley. It seems like I'm repeating myself with that sentence every single pod. Champagne specifically, who had a season high 20 points on 9 of 12 from the field. We'll talk more about him later. But you also have Bagley in there, who off the bench 12 points, didn't miss from the field, 5 of 5, 8 boards, plus 18. Can't overstate how good he's been. You had awesome defense from Bilal and Sarr, a combined 11 stocks, which if you don't know, is steals and blocks combined. You had Bilal Coulibaly, who had four steals and two blocks. You had Alex Sarr, who had five blocks. And I believe for Sarr, that's 24 blocks over his last six, so averaging four blocks a game over his last six. It's absurd. And then you also had some intriguing buckets from your rookies. Trey Johnson, double figures for the eighth straight game. Will Riley had a couple nice drives, made a three, had good moments and bad moments, more good than bad. And those were kind of the three things that I really took away from another really good showing from the Wizards, who improved to 9-24 on the season. Charles, what did you see specifically from Champagne and Bagley in terms of their production off the bench?
Man, Champagne and Bagley. First, I just want to start with JC. Justin Champagne. That I ain't gonna lie, he's like the Josh Hart of the Wizards, right? He's like a great glue guy. And you mentioned he had 20.7 rebounds. He also had two steals and one block. And all of his points came from just being at the right place at the right time. And that's what I love about him. Like he knows his role. Like he's not a overly tall big man. He's like 6'7", 6'6", you know what I'm saying? Really short for his for his size. So like it's like the fact that he can just be at the right place at the right time. That's what I love about him. I love his game. And Bagley, it's gonna have to be some conversations about Bagley. I'm not gonna lie, because 12 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist. He's been playing great off the bench. Great off the bench. He's kind of reminded me of the little of like kind of Daniel Gafford when he was on the Wizards. I know it's his contract season. He's trying to play his best. I feel as though like we should resign him. We should resign him. We should resign him. I love it. I love his hustle that he has coming off the bench. I just love everything about his game. I love everything about his game, And the fact is about that, and I want to touch more on like Alex Sarr too. Alex Sarr, he's been playing phenomenal. Alex Sarr has been playing phenomenal. Last year he averaged like 13 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 block. This year he's averaging 18 points, 8 rebounds and 2.2 blocks. Today he had 5 blocks. 5 blocks. Getting 5 blocks is just not like a normal thing that you can say that you can do. He's like 5 blocks is crazy. And the fact that he's like 7 foot, I've seen in today's game, he was bringing the ball up the court, shooting the ball. I think he made like two or one shots from the beyond the arc. But like that's okay. That's okay because he's young. He's gonna get comfortable. And trust me, once he's comfortable with the shot beyond the arc, defense are going to have to respect that. And once defense respect that, it's going to open a lot of lanes for our other offensive guys like Trey Johnson, Bub, Keyshawn. Like, it's going to just change the directory of Wizards basketball. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it.
I'm glad you mentioned Sarr. Again, like I mentioned the five blocks. It seemed like in the first half, they gave him credit for one block, and it seemed like he affected seven or eight shots, could have easily had seven or eight blocks. So, yes, it's five blocks, and that's incredibly impressive in its own. But when you actually watch the game instead of just looking at the box score, you can see that he's affecting so many shots. At the end in the fourth quarter, you had Nolan Treyer and someone else on the Nets, I forget who, but they made two incredible shots, and they had to put it so high, put so much arc on the ball because Sarr was there. And there was a couple of like Wemby-like moments where a guy drove into the paint, they saw Sarr, and they said, "I'm good. I don't wanna try it. We see five blocks. You got it, bro. You're good. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna." And it happened at the end of the game because one of the Nets players did that, pulled it out, and then you had Bilal chasing from behind, who made a hustle play and got a steal, got the Wizards in transition. So it's so cool to see that tandem kind of working together, where you have Sarr dominating interior on the interior, and then you have Bilal on the perimeter, who's just a menace with those four steals tonight. So that was really great. The two things you mentioned there, Sarr finished with 19 points, 6 boards, 4 assists, 5 blocks. You mentioned the three. He made a three in the fourth quarter, but 8 of 15 from the field. So again, another game where Sarr shoots above 50% from the field. He's shooting 50% from the field this year. Last year was 39%. That's an unbelievable jump. And then the threes, right? He can take a couple, but he's not taking four or five or six like he had last year because he's trusting himself. He's playing bigger and he's getting down low. And that's what you want from your center. So you have the, defensive production with the rim protection, but you had a couple dunks from Sarr. He probably had at least two or three dunks tonight. Got his, himself down low. And I really like that part of his game. And then I noted, like, we talked about Bilal, right? Four steals, 2 blocks. That's awesome. But the way he sort of bought into his role on the defensive end the last couple of games has been so cool. I've been stressing it for so many years with Wizards fans that look at his production on offense and they're really scared. And from three, you have every right to be concerned because when he shoots the ball, I don't think he thinks it's going in. And the defense doesn't think so because the game plan is to leave him open. I would too. He's shooting 26% from three. But lately, he's gotten to the rim. I mean, tonight he took a couple free throws, 8 free throws. He got to the line 8 times, made 7 of them, which is awesome. The last couple games, he's averaging 7 or 8 rebounds per game. So that's been nice to help on the glass. Had 11 points tonight, was a plus 10. So you're starting to see Bilal do pretty much everything except make the outside jumper. But that's fine. Like, hopefully that develops at some point. But you're starting to see him just hunker down the defensive end and say, "I'm going to block shots. I'm going to get myself into passing lanes, and I'm going to be really good on defense. I'm going to rebound the ball." And eventually, right, hopefully that scoring will come. I'm curious, what your takeaways kind of have been from Bilal.
Right. My takeaway for Bilal is that I love his game. I remember like beginning of the season, people were saying, "Yeah, trade him. He's been unhealthy." And I've been that person always saying, "No, let him develop. Let him develop." Because you got to think about it. Guys like Chris Middleton, Kawhi Leonard, they came into the league, they could barely shoot. They wasn't really effective with their shooting. But now look at him now. Chris Middleton, when he was in the Bucks in the 2021 season, he was knocking him down. Look at Kawhi Leonard. He's, what I'm saying? He's automatic from the mid-range. That's like, so when I look at Bilal, I think about stuff like that. Like, he has all the time in the world to develop. Like, his defensive IQ is already there. His offensive IQ, it's somewhere getting there. I say we just keep him. We just keep him. Because, like, if you look at guys like Denny Avia, right? We traded him away. He's having the best season of his life, like, best season of his career for real, averaging things like 20 plus and averaging almost a double double. Like, he's hooping. He's hooping. So I feel as though if we trade away Bilal, that's going to be the same case. So I feel as though we just keep Bilal. He's playing good defensively, offensively. Yeah, it's not there, but it's going to come. It's going to come. We've seen it in times when players come into the league as a offensive prospect, not knowing what they can do in offense, and they turn the game totally around. And I feel as though that's what Bilal can do. That's what Bilal can do. And this team kind of reminds me kind of like the Pistons a little bit. The Pistons a little bit. You see it? Because you got, a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit, just a little bit. I kind of see just a little bit.
I mean, the Pistons would be great. I've seen the OKC comps. I've seen the Detroit comps. It makes sense just because those are teams that rebuilt. They had a
Right.
couple down years, more down years in Detroit than OKC, but they've kind of come out on the other side. Detroit's the top team in the East. OKC's the top team in the West. That's sort of what the Wizards are trying to do. So obviously that would be ideal. You mentioned, some trade discussions. The good thing, right, is that Champetti and Bagley have been so good off the bench. What comes with that, obviously, is trade rumors. And even when I post about Champagne, you have like 3 to 4 teams that are in the comments or quote tweeting saying we need this guy at the deadline. Same goes for Marvin. That's a good thing to have. And the Wizards, the last couple of years, have had done a good job. They've had the cap space, and what they wanted to do is like, hey, we'll bring in some veterans. We know we'll probably trade them at some point, but we're going to use some of our cap space to sign them, build up that value, and then deal them. You mentioned Daniel Gafford, and that Bagley kind of reminds you of him. Daniel Gafford, again, a lot of Wizards fans didn't want to trade him, and I was one of those that understood that, right? It's like he was so good. It was a great trade to get him from Chicago, but you just knew like he had to go, and the Wizards weren't going to be able to extend him. He was on a really good team-friendly deal, just like Bagley's on, just like Champagne's on. And a lot of Wizards fans said, hey, do not trade him. Let him be your center throughout the rebuild. Will Dawkins trades him. You get a first rounder. It becomes Keyshawn George. It works out for the Mavs because they go to the finals with Gafford. But the Wizards, I think, are the team that probably won that trade, specifically getting Keyshawn. They had to make a good pick, right? But they clearly did with him. So if that's a similar situation for Bagley, where it's like, look, or Champagne, you can get a heavily protected first. If a team is offering you a top 20 protected one, that's a no-brainer, right? You can't turn that down. A couple seconds, I can understand it, where it's like, you can get a couple seconds, but both of these guys are awesome. And Champagne's under contract 2 more years. So again, I'm sure we'll talk more about trades. I don't know why I'm talking about them now. It's January. We still got about a month and a half till the deadline. But both those guys were awesome off the bench. Like I mentioned with Champagne, 20 points, a season high 20 on 9 of 12 from the field, 7 boards, 4 of which being offensive, which again isn't even surprising to anybody. He just attacks the glass so well. And you have Bagley, 12 points, 8 boards on 5 of 5. So I really like the production out of those two. Let's kind of shift into Trey Johnson real quick because the way he's developing is so awesome. I can see you're really excited about the topic. I'll just add first, the maturation that I've seen from him has been so great. Like, we know he can shoot, and the last couple of games, like the 9 made threes in a row, franchise rookie record, like that kind of showcases that he can do that. But now teams know you can't leave that guy open from three. So what does he do tonight? On multiple occasions, the Nets closed out really hard. They said, we're not going to allow you to get the three. So Trey put the ball on the deck. He got to a spot in the mid-range, and he made 3 mid-range jumpers at least. One was a step back from the baseline. One was from like the right block, and he made another one from just inside the 3-point line. All off the dribble, none catch and shoot, all created by himself. And that's the maturation and development you like to see in his game. And he still made a three. He made one in transition, made it look easy. Finished the game with 12 points on 5 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from three. Got 5 boards, was a plus 18. So again, the Wizards are winning when he's on the floor. I know you got a lot to say, Charles, about Trey. So go ahead. What were your takeaways from him tonight?
Man, forget just tonight. Over his last 4 games, he's been averaging 11 points in the first half. In the first half, not the first half. That means the first quarter and the second quarter. He's been averaging 11 points. That's big numbers, mind you. He's been on minute restrictions too, so that speaks volume. Especially in those 4 games, Keyshawn George has been out too. So I'm kind of curious about like how his role kind of changes with Keyshawn when he comes back in the lineup, but like. Never to say the less, Trey Johnson, he's a hooper. I've been saying this since his Texas days. He's been the leading scorer there, averaging 20 points per game there. He's been hooping there. And I feel as though my personal take on Trey Johnson is he's gonna be the best shooter. Matter of fact, he's gonna be the best shooter player in the draft. Cause you got to think about it. We're not really using Trey Johnson correctly. When you look at his highlights in Texas, he was handling the ball. Coming off screens, having a lot of plays set for him. We don't really have a lot of plays set for him. Only plays we have set for him is him in the corner, you know what I'm saying? Using screen and shooting the ball. We don't really have him running the one for real at all. So it's like when we start really using Trey Johnson his correct potential way, it's just gonna do skyrocket. It's gonna do numbers. But nevertheless, Trey Johnson, he's been doing this thing. 12 points, 5 rebounds today, 1 assist, and I think this was his first game off minute restriction because he had 28 minutes. But he's been doing this thing. He's been doing this thing. I'm not going. He's been doing this thing.
Yeah, no, Trey was great. You mentioned like not running plays. That was one of my keys to the game. That's one of the things I've been saying for a while is when they run plays for Trey, like when they run a pin down screen or when they run some flare screens or some other actions for Trey, it seemingly works. And I understand you can't spam those actions. Like they're gonna the other team's going to read it at some point. But I would like to see a little bit more set plays for Trey, because when he's open, it's pretty automatic. You could see in Capital One tonight, and I had some friends that were at the game that messaged me about the crowd. When he goes and shoots a three, it's kind of like a visible and like an audible like gasp from everyone that's there. They're like, okay, we're excited. We know what's going to happen when he shoots the ball, which is pretty cool. 20 something games into this guy's career, that the entire fan base kind of knows when he puts it up, it's probably going in. So that was pretty cool to hear. I heard it was a pretty good crowd tonight. And it's definitely a far cry from the Wizards team that lost by 20 to the Nets to fall to 1-12 earlier this season. Now they win by 20. It was a depleted Nets team, right? But the Wizards handled business and they're playing well. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games, 4-1 over their last five. They're getting contributions from their young players. AJ Johnson cracked the rotation again tonight. Seems like he's sort of overtaken those minutes from Malachi Branham, who's healthy. He's been off the injury report the last two games, but he's just kind of getting DMPs. AJ made a three, and he had a good game against the Bucks. He had one shot tonight where it wasn't even close, and it was one of those where it's like you should probably get taken out of the game.
Right.
But you can see it, right? You can see it with AJ Johnson. He's so young, he's raw. But I'm glad he's at least playing instead of just sitting on the end of the bench. I'm curious what you thought of Trey or of AJ Johnson the last two games and sort of what you think his role could be on this team.
AJ Johnson, I want to make this clear. I'm a huge AJ Johnson supporter. I've been supporting him when he was on the Bucks in the G League team, the Wisconsin G League team. He was hooping like. I've been trying to push this narrative. Play AJ, play AJ, play AJ, play AJ. Even though he had 3 points today, and he had that shot where he airballed and Justin Champagne was right there with the rebound, he still made plays without the ball. I don't know if you've seen it. AJ Johnson, he was in the corner. He moved without the ball and that allowed Will Riley to drive and get a layup. It's just stuff like that that AJ Johnson, he's very good at. And I've been peeping. I went to one of the Wizards G League game and he dropped 22 points. He's something like that. But he's a great player, and I'm very high on AJ Johnson. I'm very high on AJ Johnson. Not only can he shoot the ball, he can move without the ball. He's a great ISO player. It's just that he just has to work on his defense. Once he gets that down packed, good. But he's also young though. He's also young, and I feel as though that's normal. That's normal, and it comes with him just getting minutes. Him just getting minutes. Him just playing time. So I feel as though him seeing the court is going to boost his confidence, because him just being down, because they've been calling up from the G League and stuff like that, and he hasn't been getting playing time. That can affect somebody's confidence very much. That can it can take a toll on them too. So with him, so speaking of his game yesterday, so for him to come to the game yesterday, 8 points, three rebounds, I think one assist, that speaks volume. In only 16 minutes, that speaks volume. Mind you, he's been on the bench. He's just been riding the bench. He's just been riding the bench. So for him to just come to the game scoring I want to say at will, but just getting to his spots, that tells me a lot. That tells me a lot. I feel as though AJ Johnson, he can be a great fit in his Wizards future.
I mean, yeah, ideally. I mean, the Kuzma trade's a win in and of itself. Obviously, you see what it's been able to open up for guys like George and others on the team. The shots, let alone without Poole and Kuzma, that you're getting and the minutes and the reps you're getting for all these guys. I feel like you're sort of entering the fun phase of this season. Like, the first quarter was a drag. The team was 3-20. The veterans are playing heavy minutes. You're not seeing much of like Will Riley or Jameer Watkins, but over these last couple games, like even AJ's cracked the rotation. Bob is figuring it out. Again, had an off shooting night, 1 of 5 from three. It bound to happen, right? He had shot 60% from three over his last six games. That's absurd. On a high volume as well. I think it was 20 of 33 over his last six from three. So understandable. 1 of 5 tonight at 7 points. I thought he actually had a couple really good point guard plays. He got 2 feet in the paint way more than he typically does. Had like a full court pass to Champagne in transition. That was really impressive. A couple of skip passes. I finished with 4 assists, 4 boards, 3 turnovers. But thought overall he was all right. But you're starting to enter that phase where you might see some minutes die down for some veterans while their trade value sort of set. And you might see guys like AJ Johnson, right, crack the rotation. So again, a really nice win for the Wizards to improve to 9-24 on the season. I wrote an article at Bullets Forever, I think yesterday, sort of trying to calm down Wizards fans, like just enjoy these wins, enjoy the success, because you can't be crying when the team is 3-20 about the fact that they're not finding ways to win or learning ways to win, and the young guys aren't developing. Bub's playing bad, and you're just miserable with this rebuild. You'd think they need to win at least a couple games, and then they go on this run, 4-1 over the last five, 6-4 over their last 10, and you're now also mad because the team is winning. Like, how is that? It's so hypocritical, and it's so many people that just are just miserable throughout this whole thing. Like, the team is bad. They have won, what is that, 15 plus 18 is 33 plus 9 this year. That's 42 games over the last, like, what, 200 or so. Like, the team loses a lot. And to be mad about a couple wins, I don't understand it. I ranted last episode, so I won't do it again tonight. But the article is basically just trying to like tell Wizards fans to enjoy it, because they're winning games, but like they're it's not like they're beating the Thunder or beating like the Knicks or the Celtics. Like, they're beating okay teams, but they're beating them handily. This is another win by 20 plus points for a team that was projected, I think, 15 or 16 wins in the preseason, and they're already at 9. So like, I understand, right? The main goal is to keep the pick, to be in the bottom four. They're gonna be in the bottom four. It's all gonna be all right, but I think fans should just sort of enjoy the success, because it's coming out off the hands of five blocks from Sarr, six stocks from Bilal. You had good production on this stretch from Bub. Trey's starting to emerge as a really good shooter. You obviously had Keyshawn George, who's missed a couple games, but he's probably been your most consistent offensive player this season, and it's all kind of coming together in this stretch. So if I'm a Wizards fan, I'd be pretty excited about it. What are your overall thoughts, sort of, as we wrap this episode up, on this 10-game stretch where the team has played well? Like, why do you think they've played so much better?
I think it's just because the guys found the groove. They have a lot of, I would say, confidence, and they have a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? Dang, what's the word I'm looking for?
They have camaraderie. They're playing together.
Right. Yes, they're playing together. They're playing together. They're playing together, and they have chemistry. Chemistry. That's what I'm looking for. Chemistry. They're building a lot of chemistry. Confidence and chemistry does a lot, and especially. I feel as though, my bad. I feel as though Alex Sarr, we should build around Alex Sarr. Alex Sarr is that guy we should build around. And keep this in mind. He took this leap from his freshman year, him averaging 13, and now him averaging almost 20 points. And mind you, he hasn't really had no veteran big. He really hasn't had no veteran big. Only veteran big he had was what, Jonas, and I guess you could say Rashawn Holmes, and we got those guys away. So the fact that he's doing this without a veteran big should tell you a lot. What they're going in is we build around Sarr. We keep doing what we're doing, build around Sarr. We trade CJ at the deadline, bring some picks or some assets around these young guys, and keep just building the chemistry and the young core, and we go from there.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think the fact that they're already at this point is pretty nice, and it's not like you did all the celebrations about beating the depleted Nets by 20. Like, they should have won this game. They should have won by 20, and they did, right? So that's good. But they've had some other good wins across this stretch. It's not like, like I said, they're not beating the Thunder, but they're also not beating up on other teams like the Pelicans, or the Jazz, or teams beneath them like Indiana. One of their wins was against Indiana, actually. But they're beating teams like Milwaukee twice. They beat Memphis. It's some pretty quality wins, and they're doing it, like you said, as a team, and they're doing it with their young guys and with good bench production from Champagne and Bagley. And tonight was another example. So that's probably going to wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. I'll be back on Sunday. I think my brother's going to join us on Sunday for that one, which I'm excited about. I think the Wizards are taking on the Timberwolves. So that should be fun, getting to face Anthony Edwards, who's having a really good year. He's coming to Capital One Arena, and the Timberwolves have been up and down. So again, the Wizards have played some good basketball, beating some okay teams. Now they face a quality playoff team in the Timberwolves at home, and we'll see what they can do there. But that's gonna wrap it up for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Thank you for joining me as always, Charles. Where can everybody that's listening find or support your stuff?
On Twitter, Wiz Hoops TV, and on TikTok, Wiz Hoops TV, and on Instagram, DMV Unfiltered.
Charles is up and coming. He was awesome tonight. Love the energy. Knows a lot about basketball. Very passionate about the Wiz. So be sure to give him a follow on there. Charles, appreciate you for coming on, and everyone else, appreciate you guys for listening. It's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards Podcast. Go, Wiz.